Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man that is recording this episode from inside a posh Parisian bathroom. It's Nick Rehak.
Hey, how you doing?
So you're just waiting for some spies to engage in this bathroom, right? You're just kind of hanging out, waiting for it?
Pretty much. But the nice thing is they've done away with the tile, and it's all very nice wooden walls. The floor is repurposed bamboo wood.
Whoa.
It's pretty fancy.
Yeah, after they destroyed it in Fallout, they just said, you know what? Let's just redo it.
Pretty much. And then you know what? I think somebody said the magic word is sconces, because those are everywhere.
Wow. In every stall?
Every stall, even above the urinals. It's kind of weird, but very classy.
Electric or gas?
It's gas in the urinals, but electric above the stalls.
Wow. They
just for the smell. They don't want the methane, you know what I mean, catching with open flame. So
yeah.
They keep the electric in the back and the party in the front.
Not again, right?
No. It was the pre-post-apocalyptic one, and then the apocalyptic one happened, and they've learned their mistake.
Oh, smart. Hey, so before we get into drafting, and thank you for joining me again. If you remember, Nick was on our jet ski action scene draft, which, I mean, we came up with jet ski doctors on that and turtles on jet skis, two of the all-time great MFF riffs ever in our 365 episodes. Beautiful, beautiful riff. Before we get into our bathroom draft, I just want to ask you, you're out somewhere and you have to, you know, use the restroom. What restroom would you want to be in to watch one of these fights that we're about to talk about? What a stupid question. You're a fly on the wall and one of these fights breaks out. Where do you want to be? Which one do you want to be in?
Ooh. Jeez. I think of all the ones it would have to be raid.
You're like two over?
Because it's so much.
Oof.
It's so much happening at once, and you're really getting a bang for your buck. You're getting so much for your entertainment dollar right there. And then there's that mystery of, like, how are they going to pull this one off? But they do it.
I got to tell you, I would hire the person who installed that door, because there's about 40 angry people pounding on it for minutes.
Yeah.
And it holds.
Yeah.
So whoever installed that lock did it right. And that's not balsa wood on that door. That's legit. Oh, that's elm.
it's a heavy door.
Yeah.
And the thing is, look at that little lock. Mm-hmm. There is not much holding it on there. And how it stays in place, the hinges, they have to be heavy duty hinges, but they're not. The physics doesn't make sense, but there's some kind of, maybe it's the screws. Maybe they did an adhesive as they applied the screws, but it is something else there.
Well, all right, since we just talked about that, do you mind if I get first pick?
No, and I feel bad that I kind of stepped on your energy there a little bit.
No,
but
no.
That was
steal it. Take it.
I could never.
And then you go, well, that reminds me. So I'm just going to say, why not? Like, let's go with the Raid 2, the bathroom fight in the Raid 2 with Rama. Let's go with that.
Yeah,
that'll be my first pick. Absolutely. Because
and it's a wonderful pick.
Now, I was thinking, should I do Blood and Bone or should I do The Raid? And I just kind of thought about it and I just said, I'm going to stick with The Raid because I wanted to have a prison bathroom fight. But I decided on The Raid because actually I feel bad for the criminals in Blood and Bone too because Michael Jai White's beating them up. But this group of 40 people, when they attack Rama, I feel bad for all of them. And it's one of the first times in my movie watching life where I'm watching people attack a guy and I'm like, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. Right? This isn't a 3-on-1. This isn't, like, you know, sometimes when it's a 3-on-1 or mismatch, you're like, whatever. It's a fight. But guys, don't do it. And people are eating, people are getting their skull cracked on toilets. That wall, I mean, there's like blood stains with hair in it in about 40 spots of that bathroom stall. He's flipping people. Yeah. It's, man, I was like, guys, listen, I know you want to beat up Rama. I get it. I don't know why, but just don't, you know, like, don't, you know, just let him be. Let him go to the bathroom.
Absolutely. And not only that, that bathroom is filthy. The slightest cut, you're getting an infection yesterday. It is. I tell you what, though.
It's retroactive.
If I'm in that group of guys fighting, I'm the very last guy. I'm like, I'm going to let you guys tire him out. I'm here to support the team. I'll get him at the end. But even then, he's just getting warmed up. Like, it's nonstop. I think Raid 2 is the greatest action film ever. Ever. No hyperbole. Like, Raid 2 is it.
No,
like,
hyperbole.
Nothing's going to beat it.
So good. I mean, it's almost so great. You get tired. Like, it has so much awesomeness in it.
Yeah.
And it bums me out because people are like, Mad Max Fury Road, Commando, Die Hard's great. But for me, just, I think Iko Uwe is one of the greatest on-screen kickers, fighters ever.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you said Mark, he's not the best. And I would just say, who's better? I mean, I guess you could say like Jet Li, Bruce Lee, Jim Varney.
Oh,
you know, Trent Slater.
I mean, you can, but that's like the people that say who would win, Michael Jordan or LeBron. You can't compare the two because those are different people at their primes in different eras. The game has changed as far as kicks go. Like, he's running it right now.
And it's a different martial arts. I mean, and also the elbows and knees that Rama is throwing is just stop, guys, stop. Like, I've never felt bad for a group of people. Just stop. Yeah. Stop.
Or anytime I see something where a guy gets punched in the throat, I'm like, you should just quit. If I'm in that group of people, if I see a guy getting punched in the throat, I'm like, fellas, I think my cellmate's calling me. I gotta go. Is that hello, guardsman? Yeah, the guards are calling us, guys. We should probably go.
Yeah. No, when he punches that guy in the throat, that guy immediately goes, this was bad. This was a bad idea. Because you see his face, and it's just, my throat is now sticking out the back of my neck. It's immediately regrets it. I would be the person in the background with a piece of wood that throws it. And then I would stand really close behind somebody, and so when their head flies back, it hits me, and I fall unconscious.
And even if you don't go unconscious, you pretend you're unconscious. You're like, I'm down. I'm down here.
When they show videos of this fight later, they're going to see me punching myself in my nose to make it look bloody.
Like, we saw you punch yourself in the face. No. Somebody's fist. It totally hit me. No, I'm pretty sure.
It was Rama.
It could be you or the mirrors. He was in the stall. Now that guy's got a punch like you wouldn't believe.
Man, he hit inmate number 6, and I felt it.
Yeah. I had to take one for the team. We're all a team. One man goes, we all go.
So this is a video of you socking yourself in the nose. But this is the reason I picked it. It's brutal, it utilizes toilets well, and it's dirty. And we'll talk about why we didn't pick some of the movies at the end, but I had to pick. We had to start off with Raid 2. So who are you picking first?
Absolutely. Me, I'm going to go in a very different direction. It's actually the first ever bathroom fight scene I saw, and that is
Kramer versus
Harry
Kramer.
Potter. Oh.
That Street Hoffman brawl?
Yeah. Where Dustin Hoffman is just relentless with those lefts, and then the right hook comes.
Those body shots.
takes it like a champ.
Yeah, when she knocks him out with the toothbrush holder, the ceramic one. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it's insanity. It's, you wouldn't think, but she's right there with it. And then that score from Mike Shinoda just pulsing the whole time. Like,
the one thing I have a question about Kramer versus Kramer. Why are their toothbrushes sharpened, the bottoms?
I think because it's one of those so before, and I'm just going to assume because I'm relatively young, but I'm going to assume for a while everybody was like, we need something all in one. Right. We just it has to be all in one. Let's not keep anything separated. And it was a new trend. And someone's like, you know what? I'm just going to sharpen the end of this toothbrush. So as I'm brushing, like, oh, no, I see a little something. Right. A little piece of chicken skin from last night. Just get it out with a little pick. You turn the toothbrush around, pick it out. Ready to go.
Yeah.
You are ready to go. Dentist recommended, because now you can scrape away a little bit of plaque before they get in there with all the metal stuff.
When she stabs Hoffman with it 73 times, I was still amazed he was able to make that court date the next day. I mean,
and you get to about 40 and you're like, there's no way. And they just keep going. It's relentless.
I was over it by 50, but then by 60 to 70, I was loving it because like they went.
It wins
there.
You back.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It absolutely wins you back. We play a game at work called How Many Blanks Is Too Many Blanks. And we pick a song and we put it in there. Right. A month ago, we did How Many Kokomos Is Too Many Kokomos. And we played the Beach Boys Kokomo on a loop. When we got to 12, we didn't like it anymore. When we got to 16, we were a fan. And then when we got to 18, we all collectively said 18 Kokomos is too many Kokomos.
Wow. That's beautiful.
So for you, 73 toothbrush stabbings is just the right amount. 74, it'd be too many.
Too many.
But 73, primo. And primo. I think the director knew that, and that's why it got the Oscar that year.
No, oh, yeah, won so many. Yeah, I mean, the stunt coordinating on it.
Alone. You know,
that guy went on to do all like of Carpenter's films. Then he did all of Stallone's films in the 80s.
He only did one Chuck Norris film, Cobra, but after that.
Yeah. Well, Chuck Norris didn't want him to show him up.
He didn't.
Yeah. All right, so you're taking Harry Potter, right? Is this your Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone?
Yes. One of the first times I ever really saw a bathroom fight in a film, and it's relatively simple compared to today's standards. Yeah, there's a little bit of danger, and we do get a sink breaking, which is great.
Oh,
plumbing
yeah.
in the water's everywhere. You mm-hmm. have to. Bathroom stalls are destroyed. But it's just a little fantastical because it's got a troll, and he's got a big club. He's trying to take everybody out. We see the characters gaining a little bit of confidence, right? We can see kind of Hermione's running the group. We can see Harry, obviously the adventurous one. Ron's kind of off to the side trying to get the magic to work. Sometimes he gets it, sometimes he doesn't. It's just, and it's also a little bit of comedy in mm-hmm. there, too. I think it's just a fun, wholesome bathroom fight because a lot of them, you don't really get that. I think this is the only one without blood
wow.
on our list. Everything else is pretty, pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. There's some Uber ones in here. So this is a nice palate cleanser.
It is. We could start out light and then get – so, first we went hard, right, with Ray 2. Then we take it down a little bit. And, like, it's an album, right? The first track,
yeah.
you're in it. Second track, all right, a little bit of a ballad. But then the rest of the album, we're flying.
Flying high. Metallica, Saint Anger.
Exactly. Well, to a point.
I love that documentary. It's a good doc.
It is great, isn't it? It's probably – one of the better music documentaries out there. And I think, well, maybe only rivaled by, what is it, The Decline of Western Civilization?
And Gary and the Rancors, living it.
Well, that's it has to be that, right? I think that's the one that kicks everything off. If you don't have Gary and the Rancors, you don't have Decline of Western Civilization.
Mm-mm. I mean, no. So, yeah, you got to give respect where it's due.
Absolutely, day in and day out. And the problem is a lot of people don't. Like, you see these rock concert docs and everything, and nobody takes a second to go, hey, Gary, I want to thank you and the Rancors. Like, that didn't happen. That didn't happen in Purple Rain. You know what I mean, it didn't happen in The Last Waltz. It didn't happen in one of the 20 Martin Scorsese-directed Rolling Stone documentaries, which, by the way, I feel like maybe after two of them, we're like, I think we're good. We don't need Give Me Shelter and Shine a Light. Oh, we're fine.
Yeah. I don't need something about Foghat's 1979 concert in Tucson. But can I tell you something about me, Nick? So I love it when things drop on people's heads. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of these fights that we're talking about, there's just a lot of people getting socked in the nose, in the chin. You're punching yourself in your face in the Raid 2. I like when things from above bonk somebody. So in Princess Bride, when Andre the Giant bonks a guy on top of the head. Love it.
Classic.
In this film, when Ron does the spell and then drops the club on the troll's head and then troll falls. I love a good bonk. is what I'm saying. And I gotta tell you, there's some danger in this. He destroys the bathroom stalls. That sink that he destroys near Hermione, that's really close to her. She could have been smushed. And there's a good water spray. You need water spray. And there is.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a single water spray.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of all the things getting destroyed, one water spray, there's a protective magic spell in there with the water somehow. Like, there's no way there's not at this point. But at the same time, you know what? It's a kid's film, right, to an extent. But it adds that sense of danger. It does say, like, hey, you know, there is danger out there. Clearly, there's been how many films we know they're going to beat the troll. But there's still, like, little steps here and there. Like, hey, like, we're having fun. We're wizards. But there's real danger out there.
That could have smashed her. And, you know, I like the bits, too. The wand goes into the troll's nose. And it's just... It builds. So it's nice that it's not a stock fight. They wrote it well. There's some cheeky gags to it. Each character has a character growth. Like you said, Hermione's the leader. Mm-hmm. Harry Potter gets on the thing's head. Ron foibles his way through a bonking spell. But it worked. Man, you pick a good one. Cause this one has character development.
Yeah. And you don't really see that a whole lot. I mean, you do see development in other characters in that they develop calluses on their hands from beating holes into other people's faces, and which they develop, you know, trauma, hemorrhages, broken bones, but not necessarily emotional, right? And personal, like, development in that way.
A lot of times people stop developing because they get killed.
Yeah, that's true. I think.
That's stupid. There's not much character development in that scene. Well, yeah, because all of them died.
No. Yeah. You don't see a lot of development in, you know, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, because they're dead. It's just they're locked into one thing, and that's it. There's no change of heart, right? There's no thing where somebody stops and they plead with everybody else. You're just like, I guess I'm one of the herd, and you just keep on going.
Wow. What a great pick. We had a hardcore fight and a cheeky fight, and I adore it.
Yeah.
What a fun one. What a great fight.
Big
fan. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Jack Reacher for my second pick.
Okay.
Now, I'm taking Jack Reacher for my second pick because it feels like a Three Stooges sketch. It does. Yeah, it leans into farce. And I remember watching that film and I enjoyed it, right? Anything with Werner Herzog, I'm going to enjoy. Rosamund Pike. I mean, a great cast. But it's very dour. It's just very nothing... And that film really relaxes. It's very heightened. So just to watch this Keystone Cops routine between these two guys with a crowbar. So what happens is Tom Cruise is walking around. He gets hit in the back of the head with a baseball bat, falls in a tub. He's there for the taking. These two idiots get stuck in a door. They're swinging crowbars, bats. They miss with every shot. They're breaking windows. They're knocking into each other. And Jack Reacher's just in the bathtub looking at him. Just like, what? What's happening? What's going on? And it's just a beautiful, fun, cheeky moment. But this is what I love. It showcases the perils of close combat fighting. And it plays believably. If you and I ran in a bathroom trying to fight Jack Reacher, Nick, you and I would be like those guys.
Absolutely. But I think rather than accidentally hitting each other, we would purposely be hitting ourselves. It would be very much a Rama moment where it's like, oh, no, and I'm going to hit myself in the face with a bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just going to do your best to your face with that crowbar. And that's it. We're just going to be like, oh, sorry, we interrupted you. You go ahead and take your nap. I genuinely don't know. Every time I see it, I don't know how – A, he doesn't die when he catches that bat to the back of his head.
Yep.
And B, how he's just not immediately passed out for hours. And and it's just – and it's crazy too because we go from something like the Raid, super close quarters, right? And they're just like tearing it up. And these guys, there's some space in there. It's not a lot. Mm-mm. But there's definitely some space to maneuver and they're just like bumbling around. They're just both excited though. It's two guys. They're ready to – you know what I mean? The big problem is they didn't rock, paper, scissors before going in there to see who's got it, who's back up.
Yep.
That's the problem.
They had the KO. They just had to go in there and finish them, but they bumble around.
That's too much bumbling.
I just like that moment because there's some levity there. And even though Jack Reacher should have been in La La Land, Jack Reacher, I like the look at him when he's in the bathtub. Just, are you done yet? Is this happening? Like, what's going on? And I like that one of the henchmen gets hit right in the face and falls downstairs. That would be me. When you were swinging back, I'd move in front of it. I would move in front of the bat and get like kind of walloped And then I would really fling myself backwards.
Yeah.
To get out of that.
I mean, like a soccer player. You know what I mean? Almost to the point where a ref is going to come out and be like, look, Jack, you can't be doing this. Here's a yellow card. Everything else we get, but he – look at how he fell back. Like, this is not great.
I mean, there's eye gouges in this.
Ooh.
That guy gets eye gouged.
It hardcore. And as somebody that wears glasses, not a fan. I think I would have some type of – you know, I mean, I could stop somebody for a second if they try to gouge my eye because they're going to hit lens and glass before – unless they do a swoop up motion. But even then, I can kind of catch the finger and pull back. You know what I mean? But it's still terrifying.
And also, Robert Alonso did this fight, and he's been Tom Cruise's guy for many years. And he also was a stunt coordinator on Deadpool. And he also did Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. He was a fight coordinator on that. And he was a fight coordinator on Terminator 3. Or he was a stunt guy on Terminator 3. So we have that's kind of fun, which has a bathroom fight. So you got Tom Cruise's long-term guy. But this is why I picked it. It's just such a... When that guy falls down the stairs, he goes down really slowly. They really play that up for laughs. Like, it's a funny moment involving a bathroom fight. And so I had to add it because of that little unique thing it had for it. So that's my second pick.
It's a good pick. And they really let the hilarity in a weird way play out because there's no music.
Mm-mm.
Right? A lot of these other ones, there's a little bit of music or at least a tone or just a hint of like, here's, you know, a little bit of tension or something. But this one, it's just you hear the thuds, the cracks and the creaks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Beautiful. And it just made me laugh. And it still makes me laugh just thinking about it. But yeah, definitely I would knock you out and then I would look at him, then look at me, then I would just roll down the stairs. That would be my plan.
It's probably a great idea, and I appreciate you taking me out first so I don't have to make the decision of, oh no, do I run or do I just play dead like a bear is here?
You just do a Austin Powers Gold member and just fall down on the ground because you don't have a name tag?
I got a red shirt.
What would you do? You're a hero, and these guys come in bumbling. They bump you on the head with a bat. You're hurting, but since it's this world, you're not really that hurting because it's the Jack Reacher land.
Yeah.
And these guys immediately realize that they're out of their league. And they just crawl up into fetal positions. And would you be vindictive and womp on them for a little bit? Or would you leave?
I'd like to think I wouldn't. I'd like to think I would say something kind of like funny, cocky. You know what I mean? Almost like a parent scolding them.
I'm
and then like maybe being a little, you know, uplifting in a sense like, come on, man, you don't have to do this. You know what I mean? You can go back to school and continue your art degree. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't appreciate – you know, Lebanese art history, but you can change minds and turn hearts around on this and then look at the other guy and be like, dude, you were a great electrician. I know what happened between you and Deborah wasn't the best, mm-hmm. but she wouldn't want this for you, and you need to show that you're better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to her. Go to the electrical work and knock that out of the park and be all you can be. You know what I mean? And then I would leave. But I think I would try to turn lives around. That's the kind of hero I am.
Yeah,
use my words.
Move to a new town, become an electrician, see if sparks fly with a lucky lady. How do you know this?
Just let the sparks fly.
You assisted on that one. I just said that it felt right.
Hey, set spike, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whatever the volleyball phrase is.
Arrested Development never did anyone, you know, that doesn't help you. Get out of here. Move away.
Nope. Move on.
Yeah. I would, man, I would like pinch the back of their arm or something just to let them know I was there.
They wake up. Oh man, what was that? You know what it was. Mark Reacher came around.
Boop.
You just boop them in the nose. You come up, you grab their nose, pull back, stick your thumb through, and be like, look, I got your nose. And you're going to live the rest of your life without a nose. And you tell everybody that I got your nose. And leave.
And don't do it to the other guy, so it's a secret they have to kind of keep.
You look at him, I want you to tell all of your friends what you saw.
You have your thumb sticking out the nose.
Yeah.
I got it.
Ooh,
that guy's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, who's your second pick?
Well, I think it's a perfect transition to go to the Terminator 3 pick.
Oh.
Fun fact, this was the first Terminator film that I saw.
Oh, wow.
And the reason it was the third one is because it's the one my grandmother owned. She didn't own the other two for some bizarre reason. And one summer, not one summer, but one day, it happened to be during the summer, at her house, raining or something, we didn't go out. And I'm like, you know, let's watch a movie. And she's like, just go ahead and pick something. And it looked kind of cool because, you know, the DVD screen with the mm-hmm. or the case with the face and everything. I'm like, let's check this out. And it was fun. And then I watched the other ones and I'm like, oh, okay, I see why this is the third in the franchise, not as strong as the others. But the bathroom scene is borderline Looney Tunes.
Bonkers.
Right? It's so over the top. I don't think there's anything that isn't destroyed. Like a government contractor is watching this like, I can't wait to replaster these walls. Mm-hmm. Look at all the tile work we have to do, the glass work. Like, this is something else.
I got some hinges for you.
Hinges for days. We better buy stock in Home Depot because we're going to buy them out.
This is the only clip where I felt bad for the bathroom.
Right? It's everything, too. I mean, and the way she grabs Arnold by his reproductive programming mm-hmm. and just proceeds to walk him through the walls like a battering ram. Oof. Like, you're just that's insanity to me. Not only are you damaging the structure of the building to an extent, you're also messing up plumbing, right? So mm-hmm. there should be more water in that scene. Let's be honest. I don't think there's enough water.
I can't think of any. There's not much water. That's lazy.
There might be some water when her head goes through a toilet. You know, there's a little bit of water when they knock out a sink.
Yeah.
But then, should be a lot more.
Her head was in the toilet. And I like when TX looked at herself in the mirror, Christiana Loken.
Yes.
That was neat. Like, checking it out and then womping on him.
Yeah. Just being like, girl, you still got it. And then rocking it. Like, no one really does that in a fight scene or just in a tense moment like that in general. Nobody takes the time to look at themselves, get a little bit of composure, a little bit of self-confidence, and then go on to do the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about, you know, in a drama where a character, like, stops, looks in the mirror, and is like, you know, you're going to nail this, and then they go on to do lawyer stuff, or they go on to do a recital or a play or whatever.
I'm talking like taxi driver crap.
Exactly, exactly. Like, your life is on the line, and you just want to take a second in between pummels and bonks and just be like, nah, you're fine.
Yeah, kiss the bicep.
Exactly. Just a little peck, though. Nothing crazy. You know, we're PG here. But,
man, I have a question.
Answer.
These robots have – these androids, these Terminators, they have metal hands, right?
Yes.
So why would you take something metal out and hit them with it?
Hmm. Well, maybe they don't realize – it's been a little bit. I recently went through and watched the entire Terminator franchise. I had fun. There's some ups and downs, sure, but I never got an idea outside of Arnold's character that there was a self-awareness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's just this general programming of, like, I'm here to kill and destroy, and it knows its abilities, right? Especially when it gets later into the series where they can kind of regrow parts, or there's, like, a liquid metal that can kind of create these different shapes and everything, right? Like old knife hands running around and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Primitive, if you will, in, like, you know, 2 and 3, there's just a, here's my directive, I don't care about anything else, because there's no emotion. Whereas Arnold, like, kind of becomes, spoilers, a little self-aware, much like Skynet, a little self-aware, and figures that out. So I think that's why they kind of just stick to, hey, we're fighting with what we got, as if we were people rather than if we were, you know, machine.
If I was a Terminator, I would kill people with, like, fun noodles that you swim in pools with, because you're not going to get killed. So you're like, why, you know, have some fun.
Yeah.
Right. Just learn something really yo-yos.
Oh, look out for the Dunkin' Dominator. He's coming for us.
Yeah, just something that you wouldn't expect with, like, oh man, Terminator with his knife hands is going to get me. And then he pulls out a spatula or a plastic spoon. Well, that's cruel.
Something fun for the victim. You know what I mean? Noodle, you feel like you got a chance. But heaven forbid it's a bathroom fight, though, because if you get those pool noodles with a little bit of water and you catch one in the face, fun time is over.
That thing's
flying
off.
And you're in timeout real quick.
Oh, that eye is gone. It makes it fun for the
abuser.
But I got to tell you, Jeff Mann, despite the water, I like the bathroom that he set up to destroy. That was a good production. The production designer, Jeff Mann, he did a good job.
It's real classy. I like the glass touches to it. The company I work for this past June, we moved into a new building, and before it was just your generic bathroom. But now, like, we've got nice tile, the stall doors are wood, like, it's where we classed it up a little bit, and I'm like, this is how it should be. But then you see something very sleek and modern with all this glass, I'm like, yeah, this is where it's at. I don't know how I feel about the frosted glass, but the glass between the urinals is pretty neat.
Nice. Are you a frosted glass guy?
In an actual glass that I'm drinking that is frosted, so my beverage is cold, yes. But in any other circumstance, no, thank you.
Oh, I love it. And I got to tell you, this stunt coordinator, Simon Crane, he was the aerial stunt coordinator on Cliffhanger. He worked on Alien 3 doing stunts. He did stunts on Total Recall, Batman. He did stunts on The Last Crusade, Willow. And then he moved up in the world. He did the stunts for The Mummy 1999. He was a stunt coordinator for Saving Private Ryan and Titanic.
What?
And GoldenEye. And Braveheart.
He gets around.
Yeah.
You know what, though? That's a lot of different types of stunts. And that's important because I feel like you can kind of carry that over to different films. And that's what makes them stand out and unique, right? Everyone that we've covered so far is relatively unique. Sure, they might feel similar to others, but there's still moments and times where it's like, oh, okay, like this is different, like when she looks in the mirror and everything, or just these little extra pieces that kind of make it stand out. I mean, and obviously it stands out enough for us to pick it and talk about it.
I love it. And you know he's a good stunt coordinator when he was chosen to be the stunt coordinator on Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, because David Leitch directed that and he's a former stuntman.
Interesting, I didn't know that.
So if a stuntman director hires you to be a stunt coordinator, your money.
Pretty much. It's almost like passing on the baton and being like, look, I'm out of this world now. Someone's got to rule it. Maybe it's you. And that's the test, and he passed. You know what I mean?
All right. So I'm going to pick my third one, and then then you do your third one, then we'll head on break, then we'll finish it up. But my third one is, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say Nonstop. Bathroom fight in there. I think I'm going to choose Nonstop between Anson Mount's Jack and Liam Neeson's Bill Mars, where they fight in a airplane bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, so I've gone from prison bathroom, and then I went to, then I went to house bathroom, airplane bathroom. What I like, too, is the stunt guy on this was Rafael Kayanen, and he did the knife fights in The Hunted, directed by Friedkin, which is close quarter stuff.
Okay.
Which
makes sense.
Those are good. And this is a good fight. It's a good close quarter fight. The one thing, they even answered a question. And you know a fight scene's good when I just thought to myself, while they're fighting in this bathroom, I'm like, everybody on the plane is going to hear this. Everyone knows what's going on. But then they cut to the plane and it's all bumpy and choppy and no one notices. In movie logic, it answered my question as I was asking it. And that's pretty good filmmaking right there. And it proves that just Liam Neeson can snap people's necks like butter.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, it does. But I have to agree with you, though. It's the pacing thing, too. Because when it starts and it's the close quarters and it's the heavy hitting, which is impressive. Like, regardless of how you feel about the rest of the film, or, you know, you're tired of, like, seeing, you know, the old actor being the badass kind of thing. Like, the choreography in this is impressive to be able to keep it confined to such a space and convey such an intensity. But you're right. There is the pacing thing of like, these guys are getting hot and heavy real quick. And all of a sudden it cuts to and you're like, oh, that's why. Oh, okay. Corey Stahl's in this movie. That's right. Oh,
Scoot McNairy. Okay.
I love Scoot McNairy, dude. Based on the name alone. And then his acting ability second.
Killing Them Softly. Him and Ben Mendelsohn. They're so
Killing
good.
Killing Them Softly is so underrated. That's so underrated. Such an incredible film.
Yeah. I think people just didn't know what to expect because it got an F cinema score. And there's a lot of heavy breathing in it. I think that could throw people off. A lot of heavy.
And you know what? We see a Gandolfini that we normally don't see.
Yeah, I love that.
It was so good.
Oh, it's a good. It's a grand Gandolfini in that one.
A Gandolfini.
Jeez Louise. And I do love though that in this scene, there's some cool stuff because you get the body work, you get the head work, and the mirror gets broken. But then Liam Neeson. This annoys me though when Liam Neeson sticks his thumb on Jack's throat, his artery right there to kind of cut down the blood flow. I would be so mad, Nick, if I was in a bathroom fight with somebody and they just put their thumb on my neck. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. they might as well grab your forearm and start rubbing back and forth to give you like a little burn kind of thing. Yeah. It's the same type of annoyance. It's like, what do you stop it?
Yeah. Imagine that. You're just going, ah! How did Mark go down? This large Northern Irish guy came up to him and put his thumb on his neck, took him out.
That's it? Yeah. He tried to punch himself in the face, but because the thumb was in the neck, he couldn't reach. What about his other arm? It fell asleep during the fight. Yeah, fight was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, and then he grabs his wrist and does that work on it, and then the guy goes for the gun, and then there's a headlock, and then there's an inverted headlock followed by a neck snap, because the guy just won't put that gun down.
No, he won't. And then we see something that I think we rarely see in a fight scene, particularly a bathroom fight scene, remorse, right? He doesn't want to do this. He's just trying to stop and make it work out. He doesn't want to, but he kind of has to. His life is on the line, and if he goes, then he can't complete his mission. He can't stop and be the hero of the day and save and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's – and then he even, like, at the end, he's like, I need to – no one can see this. Click over to Occupied. And then he goes off, and he does his thing, which makes me think, like – okay, vacant, why wouldn't you try to say it was occupied? Like, could you imagine if somebody walks up there, but then they hear these grunts and groans, and they're like, oh, I'm going to give this at least a 5. Like, I'm not coming back up here for a bit.
Yeah. Whatever's happened, you know, give me a courtesy flush.
Yeah, or two.
Yeah. And also, we forgot about something. The phone choke.
Yes. Because for some reason, when I see it in my head, I immediately think knife. Right? Because that's usually it's either your hand or a knife, but it's just dawning on me, yeah, it's a phone.
It's choking him with a phone. Phone choke. What's worse? A thumb to the neck? Or a phone choke?
I would say thumb to the neck, because that's just one point. Whereas the phone choke, yeah, the phone's there, but like there's the arm pressure as well. So it's a little more evenly distributed instead of just one spot in your neck. Because when that thumb's gone or that poke is gone, you're focused on that one spot. It's not like a soreness in general that you can move past. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Man, that'd be the worst. Oh. No, I'm going to say the wrong – I know the word in my head, but it's the carotid artery, right? That's what they would
I would agree with you. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree. I think it's – because it's right on that spot where, like, the carotid goes up right into the mandible if we want to get you know, talk about bone structure. Like Mankind in here with the mandible claw just getting in there.
What if you just missed the artery, though, and you're just on a random part of the throat? The guy's just like, this hurts. Like, it's not killing me, but it's very uncomfortable.
I'm not a fan of this. What a terrible masseuse you are.
Yeah. Can you stop? Okay, I'll quit.
He's just all right already.
You slap his hand off and you just walk away.
Look, I'm really sorry, okay? Can I have my nose back now?
Stop trying to frame you. You still have it. And you didn't take Ricky's. You took mine.
It's not even fair. He started this.
There's no coming back from that, too. If a crowd of people sees that happen to you, you know, you're not going to get any sympathy for that.
Oh, no. If I'm like a 30-something and my kids are there and someone takes my nose, I'm leaving the family behind. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go start somewhere new as an electrician.
You're going to play fastball? Where were they going? The Way? And you're just going to put that song on and you're just going to drive. How many times can you listen to fastballs? The Way. How many times on a row do you think you could jam out to that?
Oh, I'm going to find out. But honestly, I'm going to say over 10, but under 15. Whoa. It's a longer song.
Yeah, there's a long guitar solo. And then you think ends and it doesn't.
Right? It's one of those. It's much like Do You Love Me by The Contours. It fades out and you're like, oh, okay, we got the point. You know what I mean? He can dance again. But then, wham, it comes right back, and you're like, okay, I just had the volume changing there, and now my ears hurt. So thank you for that, The Contours.
Sometimes when I play Foghat Slow Ride, I feel like I'm a different human when the song ends, just because it's so long.
It is a bit of a long boy. You don't realize it. I think it's one of those where they edit it for the radio, right? And then it just – and even in the beginning, right, you get the feedback coming in real sharp and the reverse hi-hat sound. You're like, what's going on here? And then it hits you, slow ride, and you're like, yeah, you're right. You're right, Foghat.
Get me out of here. All right. Third pick. What's your third pick?
My third pick, I think we're going to amp it back up a little bit and bring some people into the mix. I'm going to go with the Warriors when they took on the Punks in the bathroom.
What a great brawl. What a good... That has everything. Everything in it.
Everything. Rollerblades, switchblades. I can't think of another bats, blade word.
Spray
but
paint.
If there were... A myriad, right? Yeah. Old beat-up Converse shoes.
Biting.
Native American headwear. Yep. Paint chips, right? We don't get a lot of paint chips anymore. Chains.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Haven't seen... Does anybody really use chains in a fight sequence? Like, these people brought chains with them to fight. If you're in an industrial or warehousing situation, right, and you see a chain, okay, I'm going to pick it up and use it as a weapon, right? It's more of a defensive thing, reactionary. But these guys brought chains. Who does that anymore?
Yeah. It depends on the length of the chain. If someone gives me a 12-foot long chain, I'm going to be useless with
it.
I'll just throw it at the person. But if someone gives me a 24-inch chain, you could probably bonk somebody, put some locks on the end of it.
You could, but I feel like anymore, like, everybody's always like, you know, the bigger the chain, the better. And I'm like, you know what? Just give him like a little 4 or 5 inch chain. That's going to get just as much work done as these other longer chains. Like, it doesn't matter. It's more about, you know, the motion that you're swinging the chain or the thickness of the bolt and the actual, you know, link itself and the chain length. Like, I think that's, you know, that stuff doesn't matter.
The problem with chain fighting is that you need a distance, right? It's not good close combat.
No.
So you need footwork. No. But no one in this world has footwork. No, I'd say 0.01% of the population knows how to move their feet around during a fight. So you're swinging
Especially a rollerblade guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're swinging a chain and someone just closes the distance, it's all over for you.
Yeah, it's done. And if they – and when you get close like that, they're going to catch – the kind of the center or the mid of the chain, right? They're not getting the end. The end is what hurts. That weight at the end that's whipping and striking a part of your body. But if you're catching it in like the arm or something, again, it's the phone arm bar versus the poke in the neck. You know what I mean? You can kind of take a body blow, but then when you get hit with the tip of something else, that's where it's going to sting. And that's when you're like, hey, not fair. Give me back my nose.
Come, and now you hit me with a chain. What I love about this fight is everyone gets a chance to shine. So Rembrandt does get wonked in the stomach with a bat, but Rembrandt does have the opening strike where he sprays the person in the eyes with the spray paint. And then you have, Snow and Cochise actually wrecking people in this. Swan takes some licks in this fight. Swan's very good at dodging baseball bats, terrible at dodging fists, I've noticed.
And it's weird, too, because it's like, you know what, dude? I'm like, you can pick up whole park benches, but you can't, like, duck a couple fists? Am I thinking of the right spear?
No, that's Ajax. Right, Ajax was caught by them.
Man.
James
there
Remar.
There goes my cred. There goes all my cred. It's out the door.
But, oh, man, how about when Vermin, who's kind of a brick, gets picked up by one of the punks and throws him into the mirror and just smashes it? That's a strong punk right there.
It is. But at the same time, like, it's kind of believable. You know what I mean? Nothing in this fight is fantasy or out of the realm or over-stylized. Like, it's almost like the fight at the beginning of, like, Clockwork Orange, where everybody's just going at it. It's no holds barred, and we're just going to see what happens. We're not stopping until the cops show up or everybody's down. And it's just – I feel like instead of the 80s, like, kind of synthy stuff we get, it should be Ballroom Blitz going on.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
Oh, that's a ballroom. Oh, man. Or a song called Bunkhouse Brawl.
Ooh.
By
I like that too.
Seven Dust.
It's the cover of the original by Fallcat.
Yeah, exactly. The Bunkhouse Brawl. They say it 40 times.
Yeah. Not 41, not 39, but 40.
Not 73.
That's the right amount of – nope, not 73. It's the right amount of Bunkhouse.
I tell you what, though. I would – I'd ally with the punks after this is all done.
Really?
Because – yeah, we fought in assault. They were in their territory. So they were in their territory. But compared to some of these other gangs that they fight, the punks seem to have some honor. They're not bringing guns into it. It's a relatively fair fight. I mean, they have a couple more people. But they don't... It's not that bad. They seem like tough guys. The leader punk on the roller skates. Imagine what he could do without roller skates. That's John. Yeah, that's John Wick levels right there. So I just think they're tough, and I think they seem, they don't seem dishonorable. They just seem like they want to scrap. They might be a good ally for you.
Okay. Yeah, I like the logic behind it. Personally, I like a little more pageantry. So I think I'm more in line with like the baseball furies.
Yeah.
Punks get it done. The orphans, I feel like they're a third tier. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie.
They don't even get invited to the party.
Right? They're not even there. And yeah, you can pull a switchblade out all you want, but it's not a switchblade on roller skates.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Who wins? Baseball furies or punks?
You know what? After your logic, I kind of have to give it to the punks because they're going to show up with, you know, their utensils and tools. They're a little more honorable, and I think they're going to go for it. They're going to scrap their way and fight it because they know. You know what I mean? It's almost like, hey, it's the Yankees or the Browns, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the Yankees. And I know what you're thinking. Browns aren't even a baseball team. Exactly. That's how outmatched they would feel, but they're going to fight back and they're going to be there. You know what I mean?
The baseball furies are good runners. They're not good fighters.
Mm-hmm. They can really swing that bat.
Yeah.
Like they're every third time they swing the bat, they get a hit.
This is
great for them.
This is an iconic fight. I'm glad you chose it. We had to. It would have been provocative if we didn't.
It would have been, some would say, controversial.
All right, so how about this? Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we will talk more bathroom fights. We'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. We had some good fights so far. I am loving it. All these fights are A plusers to me.
If not A plus plusers.
Yeah. It's a whole new grading system. Well, bathroom fights have a funky grading system, don't they?
They do. It's a bit of an earthy grading system, mm-hmm. maybe like a sharp kind of asparagus-y grading system.
Pungent.
Ooh, perfect. See, look at that. Look at the vocabulary coming out, huh? These are SAT bathroom words.
I can't do any more, though. I just spent all my power level dropped about 7% on that one.
Well, we got to get solar panels. We have to find sun-based fight scenes now and solar panel fight scenes.
Let's do it. Solar, out in the open fight scenes?
Out in the open fight scenes, out in the sun. Everybody's absorbing it. Or, you know, Ra, right? Egyptian sun god-based fight scenes. Because, you know, there's a plethora of those in films.
Yeah, so many. So many of those.
Some might say too many.
We probably have to do a three-parter.
If not more.
Yeah, you're right. It would be like 3 6-hour episodes each, so we'd have to really stretch it.
Exactly. Rather, they had 8 Fast and Furiouses. You know what I mean? The least we could do is 9.
Yeah. We have to pick movies that there's no roofing over their head at all. Like a tree can't be over their head. They can't fight in a forest.
Ooh.
Or under a pavilion that's open to the elements.
You don't see a lot of pavilion fights, do you?
The world needs more pavilion fights. I think.
Right? I think the world just needs more pavilions in general. It's not pagodas. Pagodas can go kick rocks.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking an A-class pavilion.
I'm a big pavilion guy.
Love pavilions. There's a venue just outside of Baltimore, Merriweather Post Pavilion, one of my favorite venues to go to for live music.
Wow. It's a nice pavilion?
It's so A-class. It is a world-renowned assumedly venue all its own. I'm fairly certain, in all seriousness, I'm fairly certain the guy that designed Red Rocks also designed that pavilion or like that area. There's something, there's a connection there, which I'll take it. Maybe I'm making it up. Who knows?
He's on the Mount Rushmore pavilion makers.
He is. Both sides of his face, the left and the right.
Wow.
And it cascades up.
The pavilion, Mount Rushmore in Vermont.
Yeah. Oh, and every year there's just bands that come and play and there's a light show on the faces. Primarily it's Fish, but every so often somebody else comes along.
Yeah, it's only Fish in 7-hour concerts. The bass line. Just until it goes until the guy passes out. Are you ready for my fourth pick, which is the weirdest one, and a lot of people are going to be angry about it? So I'm going to take the bathroom fight from Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. Now, it's between Chun-Li and Quintana. And I was thinking, I was like, I need a nightclub fight, but I don't want to pick Fallout, Mission Impossible Fallout, which everyone loves. But I just have an issue with that movie because the bathroom is so clean. This is a Parisian nightclub loaded with thousands of people, and you go into that bathroom and it's spotless, and there's not somebody cleaning it up with a mop bucket. There's no one in there. That would be a full-time job for someone to keep that bathroom that clean. In that,
it would be more than one person.
Two people, yeah, to keep it that clean. So whenever I watch it, I just can't do it. Like, you got a bunch of drunk partiers on who knows what, even if it's a high-scale joint. I worked at a bar. The bathroom in that place was horrendous.
I've drank at a bar. I've never seen a good bathroom at a bar, ever.
Never. Like, ghoulies are coming out of them. So it's like, that's why I chose this one, because it's not good, right? The stunt coordinator, the stunt choreographer. I remember when they made Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. It's a very bad film. But Chris Klein playing Nash is one of my all-time favorite performances of screen. I love his performance. But the stunt choreographer, the stunt coordinator, the fight coordinator, his name's Dion Lam, and he did Spider-Man 2, Red Cliff. The guy worked on all the Matrix movies, Black Mask, one of the greatest fight choreographers, stunt people around the world. And he did this fight. Now,
what?
Yes, yes. And listen, is this a good fight? No. Is this a objectively and subjectively bad fight? Yes. But it has some, just, it's so odd. And it just, okay, the fight in Fallout's great. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's so good. But I never once went, really? I never thought to ask myself, is this scene? And that's this is the entire fight here. So, I mean, it happens where Chun-Li's going in to meet Quintana. They said, she kind of flirted with her to get her in there. And then it's just a really bad fight scene where essentially 70% of it is Quintana holding on to a sink, not trying to get pulled away from the sink. That's 70% of the fight.
I think what adds to it is the colors, right? The colors are all over the place. Like, if you look at something, you know, like the Mission Impossible, it's very sterile.
Yeah.
Right? In a lot of like muted tones, a lot of grays and blacks or shades of grays and blacks, right? But this is just, it's like every shade of green, and then you have like blue and red dresses with like gold every so often. Like it's just fascinating. I mean, I can't not look at it. You know what I mean? I'm not even a Street Fighter guy. Growing up, I was Mortal Kombat, I was Tekken. So when the Street Fighter films came along, I was like, oh, okay. But there's something about this scene where even the tile on the walls, right? Like it's, I don't know. There's just something about all these colors. Maybe that's what they thought. They're like, look, you're going to be too distracted by all these colors to pay attention to the fights. And it just happened. It's, imagine if like a Jackson Pollock painting got in a fight in a bathroom.
Whoa.
Just color it.
With vessel sinks in it too.
Which I feel like is this the only one with a vessel sink?
And that's what swayed me too, because they're like glass vessel sinks.
There you go.
And there's a head smash on that vessel sink, which would be life ending.
You have to.
Yeah. I'm just, in all these fights, you've never seen someone drag someone else's leg while they're trying to hold on. There's no reason to really hold on to that sink for 40 seconds.
No, not at all.
And then it ends with an arm lock.
Kind of like if you watch, like I used to watch wrestling as a child, right? Like WWE, stuff like that. And when a match ended in a submission or a tap out, I'm like, come on. You want to see the pin. You want to see the final drop. You want to see the character get up and then offer an onward they go. But this one, we don't. Like, it's all very tame. Her hand, yep. She should have never been able to hold on to that, the faucet for so long because it's cylindrical, right? The hand should have slid up. When they broke the sink, they should have used those glass shards in, like, a knife situation. That mm-hmm. would have been super cool.
And there's a gut kick, but it sends back Kristen Crook very slowly into yeah. a bathroom stall. I do like that she climbs over a bathroom stall. That's another thing that hasn't been utilized much in these films, that she actually climbs into another one. It's like peekaboo for a moment.
Like a magic trick gone awry.
I love a good bathroom gag. And listen, is this fight better than the bathroom fights in, say, you know, World's End or Ninja Assassin or The Matrix? No. But does it feature some things I've never seen before? And does it feature vessel sinks? Yes. And that's why I'm picking it. I'm unapologetic about it. Give me more vessel sinks in film fights.
I'm with you. I like the pick. It's not traditional, but you're bringing a lot of good logic to this. You had great logic with this. You had great logic with the Warriors pick, even though that was mine, but you provided great logic to it. Like, it's
I just been talking working. Over all your picks.
It just works. But it works. Like, it all makes sense. I'm for it.
Oh, so that's mine. What's your fourth pick?
My fourth pick, I want to mix it up. I want to do something a little bit goofy. And Naked Gun 2.5.
So good.
Growing up, my father's was really big into, like, Airplane and a lot of the Mel Brooks films. So we watched a lot of, oddly enough, just like Leslie Nielsen stuff. So all the Naked Guns. Like, and I hate to say it, but for me, after a while, the Naked Gun films kind of all blended together mm-hmm. because, yeah, the plot changed. But you don't even care about it sometimes. You just look forward to, like, the jokes and where they're going to go. And this one's no different, right? Like, you have an assassin come in to take out Frank's ex-girlfriend. And he's putting on the silencer, and it's creepy, right?
Yeah.
Like, a woman's taking a shower. You are a shower curtain away, and you're just putting on the silencer. You're loading up the revolver. You're getting ready, but she's singing this beautiful song. And all of a sudden, like, he's rolling a tear, and, like, he starts singing along. And it just gets goofy from there. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Jack Reacher fight scene, but amplified. Like, it takes the goofiness of that, right, and kind of like a bunch of folly, if you will, and then it adds, like, the Looney Tune-ness from, like, the Terminator 3 film. You throw in a toothbrush and a hairdryer, and you got Naked Gun 2.5.
Wonderful singing from the way we were belting that. Hector Savage in this movie, he's a savage. And I'm going to tell you something. If we had to do a draft of best moments in bathroom fights, my number one moment out of every bathroom fight ever is in this scene. Do you want to talk about it?
It's got to be the toothbrush.
I was thinking the towel.
Oh,
am I crazy?
God.
Am I crazy?
How am I? That absolutely is the best. I don't know why, and maybe this is something about my psyche. I find muffled screams really funny in film. There's
yeah.
something about, like, when someone gets mad and they grab a pillow and scream into it or so. I don't know what it is. Like, it makes me giggle like a little kid. And I don't – this is no different. He throws the towel in his face to distract him, and he just, like, almost like he's being suffocated by it, and he screams a little bit. Like, I don't know what it is, but they're so funny to me, and this is no different. Like,
it's such a great primal yell because that towel
yes.
is just sticking to it. It's like – it's like a prick, like a thumbtack towel just got stuck to his face.
Yes, yes.
With Tabasco
like a
sauce.
A double-sided stick towel. Yeah.
A Tabasco sauce. Wait, what did I say? Tabasco sauce, thumbtack towel, just wedged to your face.
It's a lot going on in that towel.
But I also,
I'll tell you what though, that towel looks comfortable.
Oh
like,
yeah,
it
that's
looks
soft.
Flush.
Costume department. I mean, like props department did a great job on that.
Yeah.
I also love too that. You get the cheeky gag where they open the shower open, they both look at her, and then the toothbrush gag. I mean, that's a great toothbrush gag when he sticks it in his mouth and he starts foaming.
Because it would realistically be like a blood thing where you're cutting into somebody and the blood's going everywhere. Nope. Toothpaste foam? What do you call that? Because
well,
you have the toothpaste, right? And
yeah.
you have – I mean, what do you call that? It foam? I always said like the foam, but that doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, what was coming out of his mouth?
Well, just in general, when you brush your teeth and you get that buildup.
Man, that's a great question. Foam? I think it is foam.
It's just
is
foam?
It foam?
Because It's obviously, it just kind of cleans your teeth. You're supposed to keep it in there as long as you can. Obviously, it's almost like a mouthwash kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, wonder if there's like a specific scientific term for it.
Toothpaste gunk. This is stupid. That's B minus.
But you know what? It might be a B minus, but it's an A for effort.
And there's a good gut shot in this too, which,
yes.
Oh, the hairdryer bit. Oh, man, where his hair blows him in the face with a hairdryer. Man.
And it's interesting because I'm looking at these, and it follows the cliches of everything, right? He gets him down on the ground, and the knife is coming at him, in this case, a toothbrush. But usually, they're somehow able to pivot, and they hit him with a fist, but instead he brings out the hairdryer. I guess in a typical fight, would that be a gun he pulls out, and he swings it? He wouldn't shoot him in the face because
mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be a knife, right? And he holds it until, like, he grabs it with one arm, but then he uses the, I don't know, the Kramer versus Kramer toothbrush to stab him?
Yes. It's something that's just out of reach, and then he gets there, but he gets three solid stabs, not 2.5 or 3.25, like three solid stabs.
Yeah, they all go in the neck.
right in the jugular.
But this fight is so funny. I've never seen anything like that. He just starts singing. This is a terrible hitman, by the way. It's like a great, terrible hitman. Because he sneaks in there and he has the kill. But he just is... Emotional people should never be hitmen. That's what cost Hector Savage in this fight.
Absolutely. And maybe a little bit of pride, too. Because when people sing... If you're in your car or in the shower, you're singing, you're not worried about it, right? You're mm-hmm. like, I don't care who hears me. I feel joy in my heart, and I want to express that through song.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, he's just like, oh, I know I'm going to belt it. And he does. Like, he goes for it. He goes full Streisand. To him, he's like, this is great. This is Grammy Award right here. But to her, it's terrifying because there's someone in here and they're singing.
I love it. That's perfect. Go for it.
No, I was going to say, and I'm sure Hector's a nice guy, but he's got this grimace on his face when he gets in there. He's like, I'm ready to kill. He almost looks like the Bad from Good, the Bad, the Ugly. His name escapes me right now. Not Eli Wallach.
Lee Van Cleef?
Lee Van, yes. His face, it's kind of a pointed, right, until she starts singing, and then it just completely goes away. And he just kind of melts and becomes so vulnerable. And then he kind of turns. So he goes, I can't think of another person, you know what I mean, to make mm-hmm. such a quick turn like that. But it works.
Would he have killed her when she stopped singing?
I wonder. I wonder. Because if you think about it, like mermaids have the siren song or whatever they do, right? And the pirates or whomever happens to be on a boat, they become so enraptured and they just kind of fall in the water or drown or get taken off by the mermaid or whatever. But if they were to stop, is it like this hypnotic trance that as soon as it's – because we've all seen it in film, right? There's a device that has somebody under a spell, and as soon as it's broken, mere seconds later, they shake it off and they completely come to. Well, actually, no, it's asked and answered for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he points the gun at her, she screams, and all of a sudden, he has this like moment of clarity, and he's got the gun pointed, he's got the angry face,
yeah.
But Frank gets in there just in time.
Yep, he would have done it.
Here we are. I'm talking about mermaids, and the answer's right in front of us, much like in Nonstop, right? Where we know, like, hey, they can't hear the fight because of the air problems that they're having. I can't think of what the word is right
turbulence?
Now. Turbulence. There it is.
Well, on a Con Air episode, I called a bakery a bread store.
There you go. Hey, it is what it is. I had a guy, he went and got seafood at the grocery store. We said, hey, where'd you go? And he's like, oh, I went to the seafood market. We're like, okay. And I'm like, you just went to the line at the grocery store? He's like, yeah, you know, the seafood deli. Is it a market or is it a deli? Which one is it?
Yeah, it's a place where they make bread. It's a bakery. Same thing. Oh, all right, you ready for my last one?
I'm ready.
You haven't watched Willy's Wonderland, have you yet?
I haven't, but I've heard nothing but wonderful things, and I want to watch it. Okay. I just have to find it.
There's a bathroom fight in there, but I won't choose that one. It's a wonderful bathroom fight, but I'm gonna end it with True Romance, the bathroom fight between Alabama and Alabama, and then man, where's James Gandolfini's name on this? I had it. This is horrible. But yeah, so
Virgil.
Virgil, that's what it is. Oh, and I have it right there, too. You know, so the fight between Alabama and Virgil, and thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
It's brutal. It's like a feral fight. It just hurts. And it's mean. And I just like that Alabama just never backs down. Oh, I have Virgil right there. I have Alabama, Virgil, Alabama. That makes no sense. But I'm looking right at Virgil. But I like the corkscrew bit. I love when she hit, like, so before they even get in there, she breaks the Elvis on him. But when he throws her through the shower and the shower glass just explodes, it looks like real glass. Obviously it isn't. But then she stops and just laughs and she gets in this dude's head. Like Virgil's super confident, super, super confident. Hey, babe. But he gets shook a little bit, I think, by Alabama here. And I like just the way the fight goes. This guy gets too cocky. And he just ends up fighting it's a brutal fight and it's mean. And they also, I gotta give it props because she takes the top off the toilet lid off and bonks him on the head.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I had to have it. I mean, you gotta have a bonk. And she's using appliances from here. Porcelain weapon. And so I dug it. I dug that she broke it. Gandolfini. What's interesting, he's a big guy and he uses physicality really well. And then there's Alabama Patricia Arquette just selling her fights. And then the stunt coordinator was Charlie Piserny, the dude worked on the Fast Movies, Die Hard, Street Fighter, 1994. I tied that back in. And then he also did the fights in Universal Soldier Regeneration, which is a great direct-to-DVD action film. And it's just kind of his style. Just a very Tony Scott, Quentin Tarantino, just mean, bloody, brutal. But a lot of like Rama, he's just destroying people, right? And then you have my Street Fighter fight. None of these fights are as brutal as this one. Raid 2 is brutal, but this one's just mean and brutal, I would say. One-on-one. And it just freaks me out every time I watch it, but I had to choose it.
It is one of those more – it disturbs me a little bit because a buddy and I recently watched this film. We're working on a small podcasting project, and it requires comparing two films to each other, right? So we actually found out this film and the film Atlantic City make a great double feature, right? So if you ever get a chance, try that out for yourself. But I remember watching this, and I'm like, man, I forgot how fun a movie this is. Like, it's really good dialogue. You know, I love Gary Oldman in this film, one of the greatest villains characters ever. And then it gets to this moment and I'm like, oh no, like I'm really taken out of this film now. Like I'm no longer like on that kind of fun ride. I'm just like, can this,
there's no Brad Pitt stoner
be over,
right? There's no Brad Pitt stoner.
Exactly. Nobody's just like bombing around. And it reminds me a lot of, David Lynch's Wild at Heart.
Yeah. Wild at Heart.
When, Laura Dern's character meets up with Willem Dafoe's character, right, Bobby Bermuda, and that gets really intense and disturbing. Like, we're having a goofy, fun David Lynch time, and then we get really serious, and I'm like, it's one of those, it's flat-out disturbing. And the glass, and it's scary because, like you said, Gandolfini is using his physicality, something he's great at. He's sadistic, he's looking at her with these dead shark eyes, right? He never gets overly excited about anything. His eyes stay exactly the same the whole time, kind of that Kubrick looking down from your brow kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just is relentless, and you don't know where it's going to go. She's thrown into the shower. Is he going to cut her with the glass? But like you said, ends it with a good bonk. And we don't really see someone using the back of the toilet lid or tank, in any of these other situations. Also, flames.
Hairspray.
You don't see flames in the other bathrooms.
None. Like, there's good water work, there's good bonking, and there's flames.
And a lot of blood.
A lot
of blood that we're not seeing in the other ones. I think cumulatively, this one has the most blood. I would say the shotgun adds to it, but that's out of the bathroom, so I don't think that counts.
But I love a good – it's primal, and I had to add it. I had to add something different. And plus, it's a hotel fight, so I wanted to add a different aspect to our list here.
Covered all your bases.
That's right. Who's your final pick?
My final pick is going to be Resident Evil Afterlife.
Yes.
Alice Claire taking on the Axeman, which is just insane. This is another one. I don't know what it was, but I just started picking film franchises and going through them, and Resident Evil was one of them. I'd never seen any of the films, never played the video games. I don't do good with horror, right?
Mm-hmm.
But someone said Resident Evil is less horror and more like kind of monster movie-ish type stuff. And I had so much fun. Those films are so fun. They're not the best, but they're still just, they're fun to watch. And it's just a good popcorn movie, right?
Yeah, they're underappreciated. We did the whole franchise on MFF, and I listened to all the commentaries, and I just spent a lot of time with the movie, and I love them more now. And this fight scene, they use James Cameron's Avatar rig for this fight scene.
What?
Yeah. And when I saw it in theaters in 3D, it looks beautiful. Huge camera. I mean, it's just a beautiful camera that they use. They use like a phantom camera for the slow motion. And I'm stealing from you here, but I love how it makes sense. So I also like that Alice gets knocked out and Claire's the hero. And it's so simple. The Axeman chases Claire, knocks all the pipes, water everywhere. She flips over him, then she runs back to where she came from. It's a very simple plot, but they both look awesome. This isn't even Ali Larder's movie, and she gets a superhero landing in this fight.
Absolutely. And then the big, you know what I mean, the rain's falling, and she's just there, like, staring it down. She gets both of it.
Oh, it's so cool. I love it.
And both worlds.
Alice pops up and shoots the quarters through the thing's head. Oh, man. What a great fight. And good water work.
Is.
Best water. Would you say it's the best water work?
So much water. And I think what helps, though, what helps make it so great is because there's so much. They have a lot more to play with. So it's almost like going to a rock show and you see the flames coming up in the background. You're like, yeah, they know what's up. This is what that film does, but with water. And there's no rock. There's just a big axe. I wish I would have seen this in theaters in 3D, because when I watched it at home, when the axe is – I feel like the 3D effect takes away from it just a little bit.
Like, I agree.
They obviously wanted to focus in on that. And the other thing, I enjoy a good slow motion. But when everything is in slow motion, like this scene is like close to 3 minutes long. If you were to play it at a regular speed – this is maybe a minute and a half. Like, there is a lot of slow motion going on. And after a while, I'm like, just hit him. It's taking you 30 seconds to hit the guy. Please just hit him already.
That's what I love about the fight, though. When Paul Anderson gets his hands on some new toys, he uses them. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. And you know what's funny? I wrote about Paul Anderson's career for Rotten Tomatoes. And I wrote about this fight and how great it is, but the edit in it, someone made an edit. They're like, there's too much slow motion though. So I didn't even write that, but in my article they included there's too much slow motion in this fight, but it looks beautiful. And it's not like, so, you know, you talk about the true romance fight, you know, it's gratuitous, I would say. I mean, it's primal, it's gratuitous, but this one, they're just badasses shooting people. Like, it's not played up in any kind of way. It's just two ladies destroying an Axeman with quarters. Or coins, whatever they use.
A monster Axeman, by the way, too. This is like, it's like a reverse pyramid head, right? From the Silent Hill films. Instead of having a massive head, dude's got a massive body and a little head. But he still has that big axe that he's just wielding around. And he's terrifying. Like, if I'm in the bathroom and I see that guy, I'm taking myself out. I'm just going to lay down as if a bear is in the room, soil myself, and just hope he goes away.
Yep, just chop me in half.
Yeah.
Or don't use that flat end, though. That would be horrible.
Oh, my God. Just like a butter knife. Just, it would take a couple times.
Oh.
And then he's apologizing. Like, oh, I'm really sorry. Usually this is, you know, much sharper. I've dulled it out from all the other people I've murdered gruesomely. It's like, oh, okay.
All the other body parts on it protect you from dying the first time.
Oh, gosh. Is that an ear? It doesn't matter. My carotid artery is still intact.
Is that Liam Neeson's thumb?
What got him? I found my nose.
Hey, the Axeman hit him with his axe, but the thing that killed him was Liam Neeson's thumb.
Right in the neck. It wasn't all those nails in his shoulders and his face. It was the thumb.
Yeah, who did that to the Axeman, by the way?
It can't be a wardrobe thing. He couldn't have weighed. It's not like he's got a cape. I can understand if he's got a cape made of, like, chain. And, you know, human intestine, and he's keeping it on with the nails. But it's just, there's no need. There's no pauldrons. There's no armor. It's just nails hanging out. Maybe it's like a tough guy thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get 6 nose piercings. I'm a bad dude. Don't mess with me. And it's like, okay.
I mean,
I don't know what to tell you there, man, but okay.
I'm 14-foot Axeman, and he's like, I got to look tough.
Yeah. He built that at home too. That's the thing.
Oh, and I already said this, but I love that Alice gets knocked out, and then it's up to Claire to win. It's in these are Mila's vehicles to be the ultimate badass. And she's just let Ellie Larder have a cool scene. I appreciated that. That was cool.
Absolutely. Because any other film, right, the sidekick, if you will, or the secondary character would have been knocked out, tossed to the side, and then we have our main character become even more of a hero and save them.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's that little twist, right, where they're not really friends. It's like a frenemies kind of thing where, like, I don't really like you. But after they save that person's life, they're like, I guess we got more in common than we thought. Or, like, some kind of hokey line, right? Yeah. And then they go through and throw coins at each other. Or do you think they picked up the pennies and the quarters and the coins after this?
I would have.
After the scene?
I would have. There should be a deleted scene where zombies just picking them up. You can't waste those.
Oh, great, I'm double parked.
Zombie grabs it and drives away on a moped. Oh, moped zombies are the worst.
And that's the thing. There's a lot of films about those, too. Night of the Living Moped Zombie.
Oh, yeah.
Day of the Living Moped Zombie. Moped Zombie Weekend.
Oh,
Moped Zombie
one.
Weekend 2, Bernie's Cousin.
What, Slumber Party Moped Zombie?
Oh, my goodness. I got to write that down.
Now, I have a question before we get out of here. You're a character named Hank McCluskey, right? You're a famous zombie fighter.
Yeah, old man McCluskey's kid.
The legend. And so a lot of people thought that you getting the job was just, you know, you're getting it based on your father's reputation. You know, they thought it was just, I was going to say narcolepsy, but that's a complete wrong word.
It could be that. You know what I mean? If dad's really good at it, but he can't hack it anymore.
Wait,
it's the young bull in there.
What's the word? You get
narcissism?
It because, no, you get it because your dad, like your parents, they hand you the job. What happened? I told you I'm down to 7%. So we used to talk about this on film sets all the time because the way people got jobs. It's
gosh, the word is right there too.
Everyone is just hating us right now. This is one of those words that as soon as we say it, it's just gonna hurt. What do you call it? Get the job.
This is the thing where we're buying vowels on Wheel of Fortune when we don't need to be buying vowels. We're one letter in. We shouldn't be buying vowels right now.
All right. Get the job. Oh, man. We can do this. Think.
I want to look it up, but I don't want to look it up.
Because we should know this.
Yes.
Not narcissism.
Not narcissism. It's not narcolepsy. It's not Narcanon.
Oh. Nepotism.
There it is.
So it's not nepotism, right? You're Hank McCluskey. You've earned it. And someone captures you, though. And they say, you have two options to escape. You're on a wave runner and you have to outrun my wave runner zombies, or you're on a moped and you have to outrun my moped zombies. Which do you choose? And you're on a canal.
Are there turtles with the wave runners?
No. Turtles, they booked it. They're in the ocean.
I'm going to go wave runner.
Mm-hmm. Mopeds seem too tricky in a post-apocalyptic scape. You're going to fall. You're not going to. There's going to be debris everywhere.
Exactly. Debris everywhere. Have we ever definitively said that zombies can swim or can't swim?
These zombies can't, but they have life jackets.
Ooh, see, the life jackets is what's going to get you. I'm still going to stick with Wave Runner.
Yeah, mopeds, you'll get 20 feet and then hit 14 abandoned cars.
Mm-hmm.
In the ocean, presumably, if you just go in a straight line, you should outrun them.
You should, so long as there's no falling towers or trees that you have to evade from, you know, deviating from your straight line path. Also, you got to worry about shallow water. You know what I mean? With the intake underneath of the wave runner, right? It's taking in the water, pushing it out. You don't want to get low tide or shallow waters, and all of a sudden you're sucking in mud or sand. You're dead in the water.
Ideal situation. Which one are you choosing? Perfect for both.
Ooh, wave runner all day. I like the water.
Me too.
You know what I mean? If you're on a moped, a desolate wasteland, but on the water, you're like, everything kind of looks peaceful from here.
No, if it's ideal situations on a moped, what if you run into 10,000 zombies walking your way? You're not going to find that on a jet ski.
But what if you find zombie seagulls or zombie dolphins? Like, what if it has gone to an animal place and all of a sudden the animal kingdom are zombies? You know what I mean? We've got, you know, fish jumping up and they're trying to get you. Or they're,
sturgeon.
Like I said, a zombie seagull. A sturgeon. Could you imagine a sturgeon coming after you? Like,
I don't want to. I would just punch myself in the face and give up.
Here, Sturgeon, take my nose.
Hey, well, thank you for joining me, man. This was a lot of fun. And before we get out of here, do you want to tell people where they can find you on Twitter, French Toast Sunday, Exploding Helicopter? I just did all that. But yeah, if you want to promote your stuff.
So everything you just said, but yeah, FrenchToastSunday.com. Check out the Exploding Helicopter podcast. We just did an episode on Bird on a Wire. And just a little teaser for your audience, the annual April Fool's episode is coming up. So definitely keep an ear out for that. I'm actually back on Twitter, at TheRehack, TheReHak.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to Golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo taking release.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to Golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's Golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who have found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at Golo.com. That's Golo.com. Again, Golo.com.
It's a lot of retweets of my cat not enjoying the movie that I'm watching, and occasionally some personal thoughts. So, you know, give a follow, subscribe, whatever they're called.
Well, this was perfect, man. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, my, anytime. Thank you so much.
All right. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Nick Rehak, this is Movie Sons of Flicks. We'll see you next week.